As Jeannie was testifying in her testimony a moment ago, the Bible is a unique book. I made it a little bit farther than Genesis chapter 12 last year, and yet every time I get to the Bible, I always see something new. I see it, maybe I see it, I've seen the words before, but I see a different way to look at it, a different way to think about it. I'll remind you tonight that the Bible was inspired by God, written by God, dictated by God, to be specific. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says about itself, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The Bible is our guide. In Psalm 119, 105, very familiar verse to many of us, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Bible keeps us from sin. Psalm 119:11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." 2 Timothy 3:16 says the same thing. "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." The Bible is a book that if we use it, is a book that will lead us to success. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success." The Bible helps us get along. In Psalm 119:165, it says, "Great peace which have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." That's why Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, he said, "Preach the word." I mean, I'll just add a few words to it. He said, don't do book reports. Don't do current events. Don't teach history lessons. Don't teach science lessons. Preach the word. Of course, when you preach the word, you do all that other stuff because the Bible is a history book. The Bible is a current events book. The Bible is a science book. I mean, but just, he said, just preach the word. Stay in the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And so tonight, in the year 2007, the Bible is a unique book. It's always been a unique book, will always be a unique book. And it's tragic when people, when Christians, ignore this book and don't use it. The story we read a moment ago from 2 Kings chapter 22 is an interesting story. There had been wicked kings, two wicked kings in the nation of Judah. This was after the kingdom was split into the nation of Judah and the nation of Israel. Israel was a northern kingdom that had 10 tribes. Judah was the southern kingdom that had two, Judah and Benjamin. And Israel had already been carried captive into Assyria. And they were in the last days of the nation of Judah before the Babylonians were going to come and carry them captive. And there was a man by the name of Manasseh. He was king for 55 years in Jerusalem. He was one of the most wicked kings that Judah had. His son followed him in Ammon and reigned for 2 years, I think. Yeah, 2 years. And was wicked just like his dad. The Bible says he walked in the ways of his father. And then this little boy, Josiah, comes to rule. Little 8-year-old boy. And as we read, he did right in the eyes of the Lord. He turned neither to the right or to the left. He stayed straight. And in the 18th year of his reign, when he was about 26 years old, he called a man that was part of his court and said, "Hey, I want you to go to the temple. I want you to go to the priest. And all that money that people bring in, I want you to give it to the masons and the carpenters, and I want the house of the Lord repaired. It's been in disarray because Manasseh and Ammon didn't worship at the temple. They just, in fact, they defiled the temple. And Josiah, again, when he was about 26 years old, he said, let's collect all the money, let's give it to the workmen, and let's let them fix up the house of the Lord. And so that was done. And I like what it says there, that there was no reckoning made of the money. In other words, the workmen were faithful and trustworthy, and they fixed the house of the Lord. And the high priest said to this scribe that Josiah had sent, he said, hey, I found a book in the temple. As we were cleaning up the temple, as we were fixing up the temple, I found this book of law in the temple. Sure, it included the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Perhaps it included the book of Joshua, Judges, Ruth, maybe 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, maybe Ezra, probably Nehemiah. Well, maybe not Nehemiah, because he rebuilt the walls after it was destroyed by the Babylonians. But I'm sure the book of Job, a lot of the book of Psalms was there, probably the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And I don't know how many books of the Bible as we know today, but there was a lot of it included. And it was hidden in the house of the Lord. They only found it after they started to clean up the temple and as they started to fix it up. And so they brought that book back to the king and read it before the king. Now, here's the picture I want to paint for you. Even though before Josiah, it was a time of wickedness. Even though before Josiah, people turned away from God and they began to worship false gods. They began to worship Baal and they began to worship all sorts of false gods. There were still a people in that time that were hungry for the Word of God. There were still a people in that time that if the Word of God had been out in the open and not hidden in the temple, would have responded to the Word of God. There was still a people that wanted to hear what God said. There were still a people that wanted to know the commandments and the principles that He gave them to live. And again, because of this 57 years of wicked rule, the priests did not feel that they could come out into the open and open the book of law and explain to the people what God said. So they took the book of law and they hid it in the temple. But the point I want you to realize tonight is even during that time, there was a people that were hungry for the Word of God, that was just ready for somebody to give it to them. And when they got it, they obeyed it. Now, if you still got your Bibles open, turn over to 2 Kings chapter 23. So I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. They read the book to the king, and here's what Josiah said. Boy, God must be really mad at us. He must be really angry with us because we've disobeyed. And so he called a meeting, called everybody into the church. And the Bible says he was leaning up against a column where kings stand. And they read the book of law to the people. And it says there in chapter 23, verse 3, and the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. So here's the king, that the priest is reading from the book of the law, from God's book, from the Bible. And he hears all these things and he says, hey, I'm going to do them with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my strength. I'm going to obey and do the commandments and the statutes and everything that's written in this book. And the Bible says because the king did that, the people said, we are too. We're going to join the king, and we're going to live by this book. Now, just follow along with me in chapter 23. I want you to see what they did. And again, the point I'm trying to make is there was a people that were hungry to hear the Word of God, were ready to obey it, were ready to carry it out. All they needed to do was get it out of the temple into their minds and into their hearts, and they were going to move for God. Look at chapter 23, verse 7. Here's what they did. And they break down the houses of the Sodomites. and verse 8, and he brought all the priests out of the cities of Judah and defiled the high places where the priest had burned incense from Gihah to Beersheba, and break down the high places of the gates that were entering in the gate of Joshua, the governor of the city. Verse 10, and he defiled Topheth, which is the valley of the children of Hinnom, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fire to Molech. This was a false god that they offered their children as sacrifices to. And here was a king that went to that place and said, we're going to tear it down. We're going to get rid of it. We're not going to let it stand. We're not going to let those false gods exist anymore with Jehovah God. Verse 11, he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun. Verse 12, and the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down. 13, and the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon the king of Israel had built it for Ashtaroth, the abomination of the Zidianites. They tore down, he broke in pieces the images, verse 14, cut down the grove, filled their places with the bones of men. And you go on and you read in chapter 23, and you see a king leading a people to do exactly what he covenanted with God to do, to live by this book. Look at verse 21. And the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. That Passover was a ceremony, I can't think of the word. It was something that God gave the people to remember what he did as he brought them out of Egypt, as the death angel passed over the houses. And so not only did they get rid of all the wicked stuff, they went and did the good stuff, kept the Passover unto the Lord. And then look at verse 25. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all of the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. Pretty good testimony about a king. Turn to the Lord his God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might. Why? Because the Bible, which was hidden in the house of the Lord, was brought out into the open, and a king and a people that were hungry for it ate it up and lived by what it says. It's a tragedy when the Bible is hid in the house of the Lord. It's a tragedy when there are all sorts of people around that are hungry for the Word of God and they don't get it because it's hid in the house of the Lord. You say, preacher, well, we don't hide the Bible today. And I would say, and this is my message tonight, I would say sometimes we do. There are ways that we hide the Bible from other people. Tonight, I only got about 10 minutes left. I'm going to finish on time, so don't worry. Don't start shaking your watches. Nick don't even have one. He's already done like this a couple times. Don't start shaking your watches. I'll be done. But there's three ways that we hide the Word of God in the house of the Lord. Let me give them to you real quick. Number one, when we don't get along with others in the church that the way the Bible tells us to. Bible says this, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye love one another. It's not enough for us to tolerate each other. It's not enough for us to put up with one another. It's not enough for us to just get along. The Bible says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, that ye love one another. Love one another. You've heard me say many, many times, love is just not a feeling, it's an action. Love is finding out what other people need and meeting that need. I've been studying the book of Philippians, and I want to read something to you. This was in the book that I've been studying. Few things in life are more important or more difficult than getting along with people around us. We all have different tastes, varying energy levels, and diverse ideas and backgrounds. getting along and loving our fellow church members is particularly important. Now listen to this sentence. I don't usually underline things in books. I don't usually highlight things in books. If you look at my Bible, I don't highlight things, but I highlighted this thing in this book. The secular world judges the validity of Christian claims by the actions of Christ's people. The secular world judges the validity of Christian claims by the actions of Christ's people. And I won't take the time to read anymore, but you go to Philippians chapter 2, and you look at what Paul encourages the church to do. He talks about the virtues that should be in a Christian life, and he says this: let's be like-minded. Let's love one another. Let's find out what people need and meet those needs. And I'll be honest with you tonight, even as a pastor, I can't do that to you by myself. I can't do that in my own strength. I can't will myself to do that. I mean, I love you all, but there are times, and again, there are times, and I'm sure, I know that you love me, but there are times, I am sure, when you want to say, boy, the preacher don't know what he's doing. He's got a screw loose. And there are times when, Jeannie, you don't have to nod like this so hard. You're going to hurt yourself. But I can't do it on my own. I can't do it on my own. But I can do it as the Holy Spirit helps me. I'll never forget. I don't think I've ever mentioned this before. It's been a long time ago. I was preaching. There were some things going on in the church, and I was preaching a message. And by the way, I don't know of anything that's going on. So I'm not preaching at anybody. I never do, and I'm not preaching about anything that's going on. But back then I was. And I can remember Brother Vern coming out. He always grabbed me with that big hand, wrapped his hand around mine. He said, I just wish people could remember why they come here in the first place. I just wish they could remember that we come here to love God and to worship God. And if they just get their eyes off each other and put their eyes back on God, we'd learn how to get along. He's right. He's right. I think about that song that Chris played, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. The world's going to judge our Christian claims by how we love one another. Let's love one another. When we don't, we hide the word of God in the house of God. Number two, we hide it when we don't conduct ourselves properly in the world. The best husbands out there in the world ought to be the husbands that come into this place and hear the word of God about how to be a husband. The best wives out there in the world ought to be the wives that come into this place and hear the word of God about how to be a wife. The best moms and dads out there in the world ought to be the moms and dads that come into this place and hear the word of God about what a mom and dad should be. The best grandpas and grandmas that are out there in the world ought to be the grandpas and the grandmas that come here and hear the word of God about what a grandpa and a grandma should be. The best children in the world ought to be the children that come into this place and hear the word of God and hear what a child should be. The best workers out there in the world ought to be the workers that come into this place and hear the word of God about what a worker should be. The best citizen out there in that world ought to be the citizens that come into this place and hear the word of God about what a citizen should be. The best friend out there in the world ought to be the friends that come into this place and hear what the word of God says about being a friend. If the word of God doesn't affect me in all the roles that I play in my life, if the word of God doesn't affect what kind of husband I am, what kind of dad I am, what kind of child I am, what kind of worker I am, what kind of citizen I am, what kind of friend I am, If I come to this place and I hear this book, and I hear it say, love your wife, and I hear it say, bring up your children in the nurture and the admiration of the Lord. If I hear this book when it says to honor your father and your mother, and when I hear this book when it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all your might, as unto the Lord, not unto man. When I hear this book say, honor those that God has placed in authority over you. When I hear this book and it says, a friend loveth at all times. And I go out there and I don't do what I hear in here and what I read in here. If I go out there and I don't live by this book, if my wife doesn't see it, if my children don't see it, if my boss doesn't see it, if my friends don't see it, then what I'm doing is I'm hiding the Word of God in the house of God. It needs to get in here so that when we go out there, it's reflected in the roles of life that we play. And number three, we hide the Bible in the house of the Lord when we don't tell people about Jesus. You can't read this Bible very much at all. It starts in Genesis. It starts in Genesis chapter 3. You can't read through this book very much at all without picking up real fast that God loves us. That sin separates us from God. That Jesus died for our sin. And that if we'll receive Him, He'll make us right with our God and take care of all our sin. I mean, you can read that in Genesis. In the garden, as He killed the animals to make clothes to cover their nakedness. You read it in the book of Exodus. And the Passover lamb, and I don't have time to, but you read it everywhere. You can't read many pages of this book without realizing how much God loves us, how sin separates us, and how God paid the price for us to get back. And so if I read this book and I read about hell, and I believe hell is real, and I read that heaven is real, and it is. And I read that all eternity hangs in the balance for a person based on what they do with Jesus Christ, and it does. And if I care just a little bit about anybody, and I do, and you do, then we don't need the command in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. We don't need the command in Mark 16, 15, where it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We don't need that. Because if we believe what this book says, we will go and we will tell people about Jesus. In the doctor's office, on the death of a friend, on the death of a dad. Every place we go, there are people. Listen, there are people that are hungry for this book. There are people that will gobble it up if we just get it to them. And what a tragedy it is for us to hide this book in the house of the Lord. We need to take it. Just like Josiah did, we need to take it to people out there. Because I guarantee you, just like Brother Clint testified a few moments ago, if you take it out there, there are people that want to know Jesus. There are people that want to get saved, and they'll get saved. There are people that want to be good husbands and good wives. There are people that want to be good moms and dads and grandpas and grandmas. There are people that want to be good workers. There are people that want to be good citizens. There are people that want to be good friends. And here's the book that will tell them how to do it. And we, just like Josiah, need to get it out of here. And we need to get it out there. Hidden in the house of the Lord. No, no, no. We're not going to hide it. We're going to proclaim it. not only by our mouth, but by our actions. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Simple, simple truth.